You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Thy word is a lamp.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Bless the Lord. It's really a privilege to be here another Saturday evening to continue in the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are in the gospel writings of Matthew, and last time we were in Matthew chapter 14, and we stopped at verse 13. And we know what Matthew chapter 14 deals with. We see where John the Baptist was beheaded by Herod the Tetrarch. And he was beheaded because he had said that Herod had committed adultery by marrying his brother's wife. And people of God, it is said that the word of God said that Herod's wife hated John the Baptist. And when it was Herod's birthday, the Bible said that he asked his wife's daughter, that's his stepdaughter, to dance before him. And whatever she asks, if she pleases him, whatever she asks, then he would give it to her. And we see where she danced and pleased him. And she went to her mother and find out, what should I ask of Herod? And he said, ask for John the Baptist's head. And we see where, people of God, Herod couldn't go back on his word. So he had to order for John the Baptist to be beheaded. And the word tells us that John the Baptist was beheaded and his head brought on a platter to the girl who took the head to her mother, the head of John to her mother. And we see, people of God, the disciples came, the word told us, and took away the body in verse 12 and buried it and went and told Jesus. So Jesus heard of the death of John. And we see in Matthew 14, 13, where we stopped the last time, when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitude heard it, they followed him on foot from the city. So we'll begin from there this week. But before we begin, let us pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for this privilege to come, O God, to share your word. We just thank you, O God, that you are God. And you have left your word with us, O God, so that we can walk, O God, in the light of your word. For your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Father, we pray right now that you will illuminate your word to us. Holy Spirit of God, you are our master teacher. You are the one who lead us and guide us into all truth. So we pray right now as your truth comes to us, O God, we will grasp your word, mighty God, and we will apply it unto wisdom. Grant us your grace today, we pray. Grant us your peace. Grant us a heart that will hunger after you, Jesus. And we pray, O God, almighty Lord, that we will be filled up with you. And we will go forth in your power to do your will. We thank you again for the privilege, O God, to bring forth your word. We thank you for your people who took time out, O God, to listen. And we pray that they will not just be hearers of your word, but be doers of your word. We thank you. We lift you up and honor and give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And we say amen and amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. So we continue in Matthew chapter 13. The word tells us, Jesus heard that John the Baptist was beheaded. And the word tells us he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitude heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. So we see, people of God, the people were flocking Jesus. They were after him. Remember, we see where he was doing all these great signs and wonders. Miracles were happening, people of God. So there was a lot of crowd following Jesus. Look on verse 14 of Matthew 14. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Jesus went out and saw a great crowd, a great multitude following him. He was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. So we see, people of God, in verse 13, we see Jesus heard of the news that John was dead, that John was beheaded by Herod. He departed by boat. John and Jesus. Remember, John is the forerunner of Jesus. John is also Jesus' cousin. So we see, people of God, Jesus was grieving over the loss of John. But yet still, even in his grief, he had great compassion on the people. We see in verse 14, Jesus went out to speak with the crowd. He went out. He saw a great crowd. And he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. So he went about doing good. Even though, people of God, he was grieving at that time, he had a heart of compassion for the people. So he went and healed their sick. They were following him. They had a need. There were so many sick among them. So they followed him wherever he goes. And he was always moved with compassion for his people. Look at verse 15 of Matthew 14. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." So the disciples came to Jesus in the evening and reminded him that the place where he was a lonely place. And it was already late. So he should what? Send the crowd away. Send them away. Dismiss the people, Jesus. That's what the disciples were saying. Let them go in nearby villages and buy food. So we see, people of God, that the disciples did not speak with a heart of compassion for the people. The disciples, even though they were following Jesus, they did not have that heart of compassion like Jesus. But look at Jesus' response in verse 16 of Matthew 4. But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. So we see, people of God, Jesus is concerned about the whole man. Jesus wasn't just healing their sick and doing all those great miracles, but he was concerned also that they were hungry. So Jesus said to them, "You give them something to eat." So the disciples came and said, "Jesus, it's too late now. Dismiss the people. Let them go and find something to eat." But Jesus said, "No, you go. You give them something to eat." Look at verse 17, people of God, of Matthew chapter 14. And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. They said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. So people of God, whatever we have, and we give it to Jesus, it's enough. We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. We're going to turn to John's version of this miracle. John's version in John 6, 1 to 9. John 6, verse 1 to 9. Let us turn there and see what John said about this miracle. After these things, John 6, 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seen a great multitude coming towards him. He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, verse 9, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" So we see, people of God, that Andrew spoke up, that there is a lad here. There is a boy here with 5 barley loaves. These were very small loaves, people of God. It's not like the bread that we have nowadays in our shop. These were small loaves, 5 barley loaves, a child's lunch, 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But he went on to say, "Jesus, we have this, but what are they among so many?" And sometimes, people of God, the little that we have, we think it's not enough. So just like the disciples of old, they believe, he believed that this was not enough. Jesus, it's here. We have a little here, but I don't think it's enough. How many times we look on what we have also, people of God, and believe that it's not enough. But look at what Jesus said in verse 18 of Matthew 14, New King James Version. He said, bring them here to me. Bring what you have to me. Bring them here to me. Look at verse 19. Then he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, people of God, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitude. People of God, what did Jesus do? He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He didn't say, this is not enough. People of God, he said, bring them here to me. And people of God, we have to understand, sometimes we think that we don't have enough. But Jesus is saying to us today, bring what you have to me. Bring what you have to me. People of God, we have to understand, Jesus is calling us to bring what we have to him. He can bless it and multiply it. So he blessed and broke and gave. He blessed first, then he broke it, people of God. And he gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. People of God, look on Mark's version. In Mark 6, 39, 40, the word said, then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. So we see, people of God, God is a God of order. Let them sit down in groups. Let them sit down in groups of fifties and a hundred so everything can go forth in order. So we see the order of the kingdom of God, people of God. We see that Jesus is a God of order. So he commanded them to make the people sit in groups on the green grass in Mark's version of this miracle. So we see, people of God, that whatever we have is always enough in the hands of Jesus. It might seem small to us, children of God, but God is calling us to place everything that we have in his hands and say, Lord, you multiply it, you bless it, and take care of it for me. So we have to come to understand how important it is to place all we have in the hands of Jesus. Give it all to him, and he will take care of all that concerns us. So we see, people of God, where he allowed the people to sit down in groups of 50s and 100, and he blessed, and he broke, and he gave the loaves to the disciples to distribute among them. So look on verse 20 of Matthew 14. So they all ate. The word of God said they all ate and were filled. 5 loaves, 2 fishes, a lad's lunch, a little boy's lunch. They all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. They took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. People of God, there is always surplus in Christ Jesus. Surplus for all. They took up 12 baskets of fragments that remained. I remember, people of God, the number 12 in Scripture signifies perfect government. It signifies God's government. It signifies divine order. So it also symbolizes completeness, people of God. And we have to understand that there's completeness in Christ Jesus. It also points to the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. So it's showing us, people of God, Jesus was this passing on a message that many at that time did not understand. That 12 means the divine order of God, God's perfect government. And God's perfect lamb was here. The government will be upon his shoulder. So we see, people of God, the bread of life came. They ate physical bread, people of God. But Jesus Christ, the living bread, was with them. And people of God, he is the one that brings perfection. He is the perfect one. And we see here, people of God, that in him, there is always surplus. In him, he has enough for all, people of God. So even after they ate and were filled up, they still took up the remainder. There were remaining 12 baskets full of fragments that remained after he already fed all of those people. It was 5,000, the word tells us in verse 21. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. We see at that time they did not count the women and children. It was 5,000 men. And when you look at it, women and children were also there and they were also fed. So we see in that culture at that time, women and children were not highly regarded as the men. So they wouldn't count the women and the children, people of God. So we see what women and children were there for. The word tells us they were 5,000 men beside women and children. So they did not worry to count the women and the children. So we see in verse 22, the word of God said, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. So after everything, Jesus made sure that the people were comfortable, that the people were filled, and that there was even surplus leave, people of God. And he made sure the people were well taken care of. And it is just a reminder to us all that Jesus makes sure that we are taken care of. We are his children. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. He's always compassionate and kind to us, people of God. He always wants us to present to him what we have. And when we present our little to him, it might be little to us, he will multiply it. The word tells us 5 loaves and 2 fishes. People of God, Jesus blessed it, broke it, and gave them to those people that were hungry at the time. People of God, are we hungry? We need to come to Jesus and with our hungry state, hungry for more of him, hungry for his word, and he will fill us up, people of God. He will fill us up to that place in him. He will bring completion to us. He will bring us to that state of maturity in him. He is the bread of life, people of God. And when we eat of him, we will not be hungry anymore. When we drink of him, we will not be thirsty anymore. So Jesus is calling us, people of God, to come to that place of eating of him. At that time, they ate literal bread and they were filled up. Their stomachs were filled. But we want our hearts, people of God, to be filled up with Jesus. We want to come to that place of maturity in him. We want to come to that place, people of God, of walking every day, being hopeful, looking for our blessed hope that he's coming back for us. He's coming back for a people that have been washed in his blood. He's coming back for a people who have put their trust in him. And people of God, we have to come to understand that he's telling us, eat of my word, eat of me and live. So even as they ate the literal food at that time and were filled up, we need, people of God, to eat the spiritual food of the word. The word is spirit and it is life. Oh, people of God, the word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. The word, people of God, is sweeter than honey to our lips. So we have to eat. We have to eat and be filled. They ate and were filled up. And yet still there was an overflow. There was surplus. So we have to understand in Jesus, there is always an overflow. And we have to ask, people of God, for Jesus to fill us up to overflow. That wherever we go, the overflow of Jesus will come to those who we come in contact with. So we see, people of God, after Jesus made sure that the people were satisfied, if people were satisfied, people of God, he sent his disciples away. So we see, people of God, Jesus always wants to make sure that we are satisfied. He wants us to come to that place of that deep satisfaction in him. And only he can bring that deep satisfaction, people of God. Nothing else can satisfy. He satisfies our soul. People of God, we can't just be working and looking and living for the physical bread alone, but we have to remember the soul food. We need, people of God, soul food. We need to be filled up with Jesus, filled up with the Word. He's the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. So we need to eat of Him and be filled up with Him and be satisfied in Him. So we see, people of God, Jesus, after He fed these people, they were satisfied. And we see where He immediately, verse 22 said, Jesus made His disciples get into a boat. The mission was accomplished right there. So He said, go before me, go on the other side. He sent them away on a boat. And while He sent the multitude away, so now He was ready to say, okay, people, you can go home now. Everything was accomplished. He healed their sick. He fed them. They were satisfied. So He said, you can go now. So He sent the multitude away. Look at verse 23 of Matthew 14. And when He had sent the multitude away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. Now when evening came, He was alone there. So we see, people of God, Jesus always take time out to commune with His Father. Jesus always take time out to pray. It's a very important example for us to understand and to know. So we need to follow the example of Jesus Christ our Lord and find time alone to commune with our Father. People of God, corporate prayer is very important, and it's very good for us to have corporate prayer. But the time alone with Jesus, there are days when I have to be alone, all alone with Christ my Lord. I can tell Him of my troubles all alone. Sometimes in corporate prayer, people of God, we can't tell the Lord everything that is on our heart. We don't want somebody else to hear what is on our heart. But in our prayer, when we are one-on-one with God, communing with Him, we can tell Him everything. So we see Jesus showed us the perfect example as to how we are to have that one-on-one prayer with God. We have to meet with our Father and commune with Him. We have to take that time out. People of God, we have to set apart that time to sit with our Abba Father and commune with Him. People of God, it is showing us the relationship that Jesus had with the Father. And Jesus is saying to us this morning, the same way we are to have that relationship with Abba Father, we need to find that time, to take that time out, to commune with Him. Jesus did it. He is the perfect God-man. He didn't have to do it, people of God, but He is showing us the perfect example of how important it is to commune with the Father, to be ministered to by the Father. And people of God, we need God to minister to us before we can go to minister to others. And many times we just run ahead and say we're going to minister. We didn't even commune with God. But God is saying to us today, people of God, just as Jesus, the perfect God-man, the Son of God, took time out, the Word said, He went up into the mountain by Himself to pray. The Word tells us clearly He didn't just go up on the mountain. He went to pray. He went to commune with His Father. It was important that He commune with the Father. He said, everything I do is what I see the Father do. So if He's not in communion with the Father, people of God, how would His mission be effective? It is showing us Christ's dependence on the Father. The anointed Son, He was completely dependent on the Father. So we are to be completely dependent on Jesus. People of God, this is showing us we have to be completely dependent on Jesus Christ, because only He can help us. So each day we have to take the time out to commune with Him. We have to take the time out, people of God, to spend that quality time with our Abba Father, hearing from Him, getting direction from Him. The Word said He will show us the path to take. He will show us. But if we are not in communion with Him, people of God, how are we going to know the path to take? He will show us the path to take. In his presence, there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand, pleasures forevermore. So when we take time out, people of God, to commune with Abba Father, when we take time out to sit with him, sit in his presence, people of God, we can never be the same. We will have that joy. We will have that peace. We will have that contentment that can come only from him. The Lord is calling us, people of God, to come into that deep relationship with him. And Jesus shows us so clearly how great the relationship he had with his Father, because he, after such a great miracle, he didn't just go away with the disciples and sail across Galilee with them. No, he took time out. He took the time out. He made the time. Many of us sometimes say we don't have the time. We must make the time, people of God. Even if we have to wake up half an hour earlier, we have to make the time to commune with our Father. Many times we step through the door and we say we're going about our business. We never have the time to sit with our Father, to hear what he has to say to us, people of God, to get his direction for the day's activity. How many times we step out on our own and we find out it's after we are in troubled waters, that's when we cry out to him. But God is calling us to be like Jesus. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the guide for the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And people of God, we need to follow him. We need to imitate him. We need to find that time. Take that time out to commune with our Abba Father like Jesus did. We all need to follow his example and find that time alone to commune with God the Father. So the Lord is calling us, people of God. For too long, we have been going and we have been working without being in a relationship with Abba. But Abba is calling us, showing us how his beloved Son, who is the perfect God-man, took that time out to commune with him, to have a relationship with him. So, people of God, we who are mortal men must find that time to commune with our Abba Father and to be ministered to by him so we can minister to others. Many times we go into minister, people of God, and we are going dry because we never spend that time to be filled up with him. People of God, we need an infilling every day. We need to be filled up afresh with more of Jesus. So if we don't go and pray and commune with him, we will not have, oh, people of God, that anointing that we also always speaking about being anointed. But the anointing comes from the anointed one. So if we don't spend time with him, then we will not be anointed to do the will that he has called us to do. So we give God thanks for his word to us today. And we'll stop here this evening and continue next week from verse 23. God bless you all. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for today. We thank you for your word to us. We thank you, O God, that you are God of the supernatural. And we thank you, O God, that you are calling us to remember that you are the sovereign God and that you, O God, work in us to bring us to that place of completion in you. So we give you thanks. We give you praise. And we thank you, O God, that we will follow the example of Jesus to commune with you daily and to walk in your ways. We look to you and we give you thanks and praise. And we thank you again for your word to us, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We give you all the glory and praise. Thank you for your people. Thank you for those who hear and will decide to follow you. We look to you and give thanks in Jesus' name. And we say amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful rest of the weekend and continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessings. Amen and amen.
In the Lord is love. Reproofs of instruction.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.